Good morning. Welcome to our Thursday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Talking and praying this week about living as rich, taking a look at what God would say defines how we live as one who is rich, what to do with the riches that we have received, and how to live more like Christ. And today we're going to talk about being rich in mercy, another one of those characteristics of God that He wants us to reflect to the people around us as we understand and as we grow in His mercy. Ephesians 2:4, Paul writes, and he says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions." Powerful message. Paul writes, it says, the basis for this statement is God's great love. And so we ought to begin to grasp how comprehensive this is going to be. This isn't something that's just a thought. It's not something that's just a passing whim. It's out of God's great love. And when you consider the incredible nature of God's love, who gave His only Son so that we, that you and me, would not perish, but that we could have everlasting life. Nothing required Him to do that. Nothing forced Him. Nothing other than His love motivated Him. And out of His great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive when we were dead. Mercy is an undeserved favor, for lack of a better word. It right up there with works together with God's grace. And so when I think of mercy, I think probably most frequently of some powerful prayers in Scripture. We may not think of them often as prayers, but they are. When individuals cry out, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." One of the most powerful prayers you'll ever hear. Because it begins to align us with the mercy of God to the point that we begin to listen. And we accept what He has to say. And we cry out for mercy because, well, without it, we're doomed. We definitely don't want what we want, what we deserve. And so we recognize how God is rich in mercy. And so, while we are dead in our transgressions, when sin separates us from God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His mercy was extended to us before we really made any attempt to get it right. God cleanses us when we come to Him. Acts 2 says that when we repent, when we change our mind about the sin in our life and turn away from it fully, we choose to be buried with Christ. And so the instruction given in Acts 2 to all of those who were cut to the heart, who were concerned about their sin, their transgression, that they were to change that mind, to turn in a different direction, to be immersed into Christ, that their sins would be forgiven and they would receive God's Spirit, a helper, to make them alive and to help them live as one who is alive. And when we recognize the mercy of God, His call to you and to me is that we also would be rich in mercy. And I think many times we aren't necessarily opposed to being merciful to those that we think deserve it, to those who have straightened up their life, to those that treat us well, to those that do what we think they ought to do. Being rich in mercy to those who are still dead in their transgressions is, well, it's a little more difficult, but it's also a little more Christ-like. And so when we think about life, we don't have the authority to forgive sins in the same manner that Jesus does, but we still are called by Jesus to forgive those who sin against us. And so that's an element of being rich in mercy. Being rich in mercy chooses not to hold the sins of others, committed by others, especially the sins committed by others towards us, against them. Now, I recognize within our human culture and nature that there are times that the sins of others against us will carry long-term consequences. But how we view them ought to be filled with that mercy that God has extended towards us. You also probably ought to be aware that God's mercy requires a turning by us toward Him. It's not that He excludes anyone from His mercy, but it's not a blanket pouring out upon every person that ever lives so that all would be made alive in Christ. That's His desire. But Scripture is pretty plain that there are those who will not accept God's mercy, who will not repent, who will perish in their sin. And so we need to keep that in mind as well when we're dealing with people, that we're not putting ourselves in harm's way simply because somebody convinces us that we ought to be rich in mercy towards someone who has not repented, someone who is not willing to change. You see, all of that is part of God's mercy. And so we live life aware of those types of circumstances and yet still giving people the benefit of the doubt, still giving people an extension of God's mercy as has been shown to us. Rich in mercy is about giving people what we ourselves have received from God. Otherwise, it's pretty much impossible. Because we know what it's like. We know our sin. We know how we've lived disobedient to God. And as His children, we realize how He has continued to treat us. There are times that mercy involves discipline. It involves correction. It involves instruction. It involves things that we really don't want, but we really need. But it also involves embrace. It involves a burying of the transgression. It involves living as one who has been cleansed, so that the one that we've transgressed against does not hold it against us, does not hold it over our head, does not constantly come back and say, "Remember when you did this?" What we're reminded of by God is, "Remember when you were made alive. Live like one who has been made alive." And as we experience the richness of God's mercy, we live life day to day, being more merciful. And we pay attention to those opportunities to not simply show our mercy towards others, but we look for those opportunities to share the good news of a God who's rich in mercy. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you for being a God who loves us to such an extent that out of your great love, you have shown us how rich in mercy that you really are. While we were dead in our transgressions, while we were separated from you by our willing choice to sin, you stepped in and made it possible for us to be made alive. And when we turn from that sin and turn towards you, even when we've not yet cleaned up our act, because we can't on our own, you make us alive and you cleanse us by the blood of Jesus, a cleansing that is more powerful, more complete, more thorough than anything that we could ever do. But it's not simply that you clean us up and set us on a new path, but you continually wash us by the blood of Jesus as we continually walk that path. And your rod and your staff, they do guide us along that path. They lead us, they correct us, they teach us. Because of your mercy, your desire is that we would continue living that resurrected life that we have in Christ. And your mercy doesn't simply forgive us at that initial moment of recognizing that we've sinned against you and we need help. Your mercy forgives us each day as we continue to recognize our need. And so, Father, today, as we live as one who has been made alive, may we also be rich in mercy towards those around us, so those specifically who sin against us, those that need an awareness that there's a better way. Those that need to turn towards you. Those that need to repent. Those that need to be buried with Christ. Those that need to be risen with Christ, to live a life that is transformed, that overcomes that death. And so God, help us to be those examples of what that looks like, of how it's lived out, of what the continual process of drawing near to you is all about. I mean, we share that good news with others because of the mercy that we have towards them, not wanting any to perish. We know that's your will. May we adopt that same will, that same desire, that anyone that we see today would be someone that we would say to ourselves with full sincerity, I do not want them to perish. But rather they would come to repentance, they would come to live and walk in relationship with God, with you, through Jesus. And Father, for some people that we encounter today, that will be an easy thought, an easy desire for them. But for others that we encounter today, it will require a great amount of mercy on our part to realize they walk in the shoes we once walked in. The sin may be different. The lifestyle may be different. The manifestation of self may be different. But that separation from you is the same. And so may you, being rich in mercy toward us, help us to see them differently, so that they would know, because they experience our mercy, they would know that mercy from you is not only attainable, but it's desired by you. They would reach out. And as they turn away from that which has distanced them from you, that they would know and embrace a God who is rich in mercy. Father, as I consider your nature of being rich in mercy, I continue to pray for those in Israel and the Middle East that are caught up in this war, for the ongoing war in Ukraine. War which seems to really have no true winners, because everyone's losing something. And so, Father, I pray specifically for those innocent civilians, the women, the children, the moms and dads, the workers, the grandparents, those that have just been trying to go about life, and many that have had it ended, many that have lost loved ones abruptly, many that live in great fear and terror. Father, may there be a spirit of mercy, that you, as one who is rich in mercy, would be merciful to those who are caught in the midst of this war. That you would bring this war to an end, whether it's simply some divine confusion that you spread across those who are doing battle, or whether it's great wisdom that you pour out on those who would seek peace. But God, may you be in the midst. And in all of this, may you be seen. May Jesus be lifted up. In the midst of war and conflict, may he be lifted up. In the midst of our life today, may he be lifted up, so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Thursday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.